Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, something strange happened today.
What was that?
So I'm in my house taking care of business, doing some stuff. I got the TV on, of course. And, of course, it's on Fox Sports 1.
Oh, that's good. I always keep it on FS1, too, I'm at the house.
No doubt. So I'm watching Skip and Shannon. And then The Herd comes on.
Okay.
You know, so I'm doing my stuff and coming back and got it up. So even when I can't see it, I can hear it. And I hear a familiar voice. One that I hear every day.
Was it Colin? Was it Colin?
Was not Colin.
Okay.
Colin's voice I heard periodically, but this was another voice. This was a voice from the chair, not Colin's big table.
Right.
Big desk. This was from the chair.
Who?
And the voice was saying some of the most outlandish stuff.
Was Jason McIntyre on?
No, it wasn't J-Mac. I think we have audio of it. Don't we have audio of it? Let me hear. We don't?
No. We don't have. You wanted us to play it? Oh, I was just going to talk about it.
All right. Well,
we'll get it. We'll get it. One second.
And maybe you don't know, Rob. You were the voice.
Oh, it was me.
I couldn't believe my ears. And I know you don't like Tom Brady.
Who said I don't like him? I don't know him.
I know you're always picking for things to nitpick and criticize him about and shortcut him and give him short shrift. And you're coming up with your acronyms and the this and the that, the load and the gaload and whatever else you want to call him. But I cannot believe that you went as far as to say that in clutch moments for one big game, you would take the mediocre, middling, so-so, average, nondescript Eli Manning over Tom Brady. Can't believe you.
Go
ahead and explain yourself.
Or are you
going to apologize?
No, I'm not going to apologize. I always keep it real. And I understand everybody gets caught
keeping
up.
Keeping it real crazy.
Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls, all this stuff. All I know is when I watch his highlight reel, I see Adam Vinatieri in it as much as I see Tom Brady. I also know that I've never seen Tom Brady throw a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl because it's never happened. It's never happened. Never. N-E-V-E-R. Never. He's never come up clutch in a big moment. Ever. And yet people are dumping on Eli saying he's a bum. Did you watch those throws that Eli made? Eli took those Super Bowls from Tom Brady, including the 18-0 Patriots. He took them. He's the one who had those 19-0 Patriots shirts that went to Haiti. It was because Eli stopped him from winning and completing the undefeated season.
You want to laugh?
Yeah, that was funny.
You want to chuckle?
Thank you. You know how those shirts are printed up?
We
never see the day of light.
Yes,
they always go
they went somewhere.
Some other country, and they're wearing them. Right. It's funny how we never see those shirts, but you know that they're around. But in any way,
don't try to change the subject.
I'm not changing it.
Because you know you're just all out there.
I'm not out there. I'm trying to tell you. And when you look at
you in the parking lot in the ditch.
When you look at Eli Manning and what he's been able to do in the postseason, it's incredible. Tom Brady hit Randy Moss to put them in the lead with 2 minutes to go. Guess what Eli did? He marched them down the field. He eluded 4 tacklers. He threw the ball up for David Tyree, who made an unbelievable catch.
Right. He threw the ball up for grabs.
No, I didn't say up for grabs.
He just heaved it.
He knew what he was doing.
He didn't know where he was throwing it.
And then he got the game-winning touchdown. to Plaxico Burress. This is what this guy has done. The Manningham catch is one of the most unbelievable catches we've ever seen in football history. We're not, and yet, Tom Brady's won two of his six Super Bowls with only throwing one touchdown. Last year in the Super Bowl, everybody's ranting and raving about Tom Brady. Guess what? Tom Brady had no touchdowns, a pick, and a fumble. That's what he had. I would take Eli Manning in a clutch situation. I'm not talking about comparing careers, regular season, all that other stuff. In big moments when it matters most. Tom Brady last year, he almost threw a pick in the AFC Championship game if it wasn't for the offsides call. But he got away with it. That's the part where we talk about Tom Brady being lucky and things always working out in his favor. All I'm saying, Chris, is unless you could show me the touchdown that Tom Brady threw.
I'm about to, because you must not watch the Super Bowl.
I watched the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the touchdown to win the game.
Yep.
He hadn't done it.
All right. Well, here we go. First of all, 2016. They are down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons. He leads the New England Patriots on three scoring drives of 72 yards or more. Three scoring drives of 72 yards or more in the last 18 minutes of the game. They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter. That's Tom Brady. Okay?
Did he throw a game-winning touchdown in that game?
Not in that one.
Oh, okay.
But
he didn't throw any. None.
2014, didn't he throw a three-yard touchdown pass to Julian Edelman to beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-24?
No.
Who threw it?
Didn't they rush that ball in?
I think he threw it with 2 minutes left. Check it out, Lee. He threw it. And before that, 5 minutes earlier.
No, I'm talking about at the end of the game. We're not talking about that.
No, you said a game-winning pass.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not wrong.
They were down 24-21, and he led them on a 64-yard drive and threw a three-yard touchdown pass to Julian Edelman with 2 minutes left, and they won the game. That's the definition, Rob Parker, of a game-winning pass. All right? I mean, are you serious? This guy isn't clutch? He's got 44 come-from-behind game-winning drives in his NFL career.
I'm talking about in the Super Bowl.
I just named two.
No, you didn't give me two. What was the second one you gave me?
Drive comebacks. He led them on a 25.
I'm telling you that they didn't win that. That's not how they won the game.
They scored. He led the drive.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
They ran the ball in.
First of all, it doesn't matter.
If
you run the ball in.
Yes, it does matter.
If he throws
it
the
does.
Pass, it gets him to the 3 yard line.
No, that's not good enough.
Really?
Yes.
James White runs it. Okay, I gave you 2014. How about 2014?
I'm telling
against
you.
The Legion. Hold on, no. The Legion of Boom.
I'm telling
is
you.
Is arguably the greatest defensive team in the last 10 to 15 years.
Tom Brady.
And he led his team they overcame the biggest fourth quarter deficit in Super Bowl history to that point. L.O.B. And he threw the game-winning touchdown pass to Julian Edelman. What do you want? That's it. Your whole premise was wrong.
It ain't wrong.
It is wrong. Check it out. Look it up.
I'm telling you that in clutch moments, Tom Brady hasn't been as clutch as Eli Manning.
No, you didn't tell me that. You told me.
I told you in a big game. I told you in a big game.
Is the Super Bowl a big game?
I told you in a big game I would take Eli Manning. I would take Eli.
Never thrown a TD pass.
Okay, all right. You want to give me? I'll give you one out of nine Super Bowls. Okay, if you want to take that, I'll give you that.
He's the only player with four MVPs in the Super Bowl.
But I'm telling you,
the only one.
I'm telling you that when you talk about Joe Montana, Joe Montana had to throw a touchdown to win the Super Bowl, to bring his team back. There was no room for a kicker. And I'll tell you,
did he kick it in 2014 against Seattle?
And I'll tell you again, I'm looking it up because I had it researched. I looked it up earlier.
You should have researched it yourself.
I looked it up.
Because you were looking at the wrong thing, as usual.
And I'll tell you, Eli Manning has been bigger than Tom Brady and late in games. He has been.
I'm not going to
I'm giving you the two Super Bowls that he beat Tom Brady in. He scored. He's the one who got the touchdown after Tom Brady. Yes.
I just told you. And first of all, let's give the Giants defense way back in 20.
Oh, stop it.
The New England Patriots were averaging 37 points a game that year. The Giants defense held them to 14. Don't act like it was all Eli Manning.
No, but my point is the defense never won the MVP. It was about Eli.
They should have.
No, it's not. So
you hold the best offense we've ever seen.
We've seen
20 points below its average, and you don't deserve props.
But you're talking about if you're going to do that, then we'll take about that Atlanta Super Bowl because they didn't give Atlanta any points in the second half. That was the defense.
No, that was the defense. The offense was 25.
But if they would have scored once, if they would have scored once, they would have never won. The defense had to pitch a shutout. We saw it all the time. Their defense and Bill Belichick were as good as anybody. Tom Brady benefited from it. So you can't take it away from
Eli.
You can't take it away from Eli.
Are you looking? No, you do your little research. Who in the heck did you have do your research for?
I'm not going to out him like that. It doesn't matter.
2 minutes and 2 seconds left.
It doesn't matter like that.
2 minutes and 2 seconds
left. I'm still taking Eli.
Julian Edelman. 3-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
I'll take Eli in a clutch.
Your premise was wrong.
I'll take Eli in
a
clutch moment anytime.
On a fallacy.
Anytime I would take him. Any single time.
Eli Manning wouldn't take himself over Tom Brady.
Sure he would.
No,
because
he
beat Tom Brady twice. How could he be the GOAT? You can't be the GOAT. Tom Brady lost to Eli, who's supposedly a bum. And he lost to a backup quarterback. That's the greatest quarterback of all time. You lost to a backup and to Eli Manning twice. Not once. Twice.
You are so wrong. Let's let the callers weigh in. You are so wrong. 877-99 on Fox. It's time for y'all to put Rob Parker in his place. Even the Rob Parker supporters, even the Tom Brady haters, cannot agree that you would take Eli Manning over Tom Brady in the clutch?
We don't care.
You got a David Tyree to come up with a miraculous catch on his helmet for you every time? Huh? My goodness.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We love having our next guest on the show. He's the tremendous NFL columnist for USA Today, our friend Jarrett Bell. Jarrett, what's up, bud?
The Odd Couple. What's up, brothers?
We're fighting at it.
We're awfully odd today. And look, Jarrett. I hate to start off the interview with some just downright foolishness.
It's not foolishness.
But Rob Parker has gone on national television and now national radio today and said that Eli Manning is more clutch than Tom
and
Brady.
Jared,
Can you please correct him?
All I said was in a big game, I would take Eli. His resume speaks for itself. He beat Brady twice where he had to get touchdowns in the final 2 minutes twice to win Super Bowls, and he got the job done.
Jared, don't take it easy on him either.
Let me just say this right off the bat. If you got to explain all that, it's probably wrong. Okay? That's
Thank you. Number one.
He may be more luck than Brady, right? But not more clutch.
Helmet catch.
It doesn't come down to just – one or two games. And those were clutch moments in those Super Bowls. I'll give you that. But, you know, Brady's been pretty clutch in some Super Bowls as well. Okay.
He also coughed up the football against Philadelphia.
We didn't say perfect.
I could go on and on.
Super Bowl.
And you know it, Jared. Yeah, when you watch Brady's highlight reel, Adam Vinatieri has a starring role in it.
That joke is old, Rob.
It's true though.
Yeah, you got to get in position for Vinatieri to make the kick.
Thank you. Which he did as a rookie.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just wondering what it is that you have against Tom Brady.
Nothing! What do I have to have against him?
I think they were dating the same lady way back before Brady got married.
No.
Oh, that's what it is.
Over Rob? Is that it, Rob?
Never. Never.
Unless Rob was talking to Giselle or something.
That's right.
But, you know, I think it is fair to raise the question. And when we look at Eli's career, his Hall of Fame worthiness and all of that kind of stuff, you know, that's what people are going to look at, is that the guy won two Super Bowls against the Patriots of all teams. But when you look at the total body of work, and it's really striking me as quite interesting, is that, you know, there's been all this sympathy for Eli the past, you know, few days, just about, you know, the Giants doing him wrong and how could you. I mean, let's look at the last three, four, 5 years from this guy.
Now, me and Chris are in lockstep with you. We're in lockstep with you on that. And you know that, Chris.
Well, right? Jared, Rob and I do think Eli gets in the Hall of Fame. I think some of it is the New York factor, which, you know, is huge. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I'm on the committee, so it would not be fair for me to be definitive about it. And I'm not, by all means. But I definitely don't buy this thing about, oh, he's a first ballot guy. I've seen that
on
social media. That's crazy, okay? And you've got to be in that room to see that happen. I mean, let's always remember that Michael Strahan was not a first ballot guy. He could have been, should have been, you know, that depends on who else is up and, you know, so many other things. But there will be a good argument about Eli Manning. And I'm sure at some point in the argument about Eli Manning, Jim Plunkett's name will come up, okay?
Right. But did Plunkett win MVP twice, and did he beat an 18-0 team?
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, that's huge.
Beat the team that's in front of it. No, it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're in the Hall of Fame.
No, I didn't say that. Marv Levy.
David Tyree made the catch.
But wait a minute. Is it
miraculous?
But wait a minute. You football writers put Marv Levy in the Hall of Fame. He has a dubious distinction. He lost 4 straight Super Bowls. How's he in the Hall of Fame?
He lost four straight.
That's dubious, Jared. Come on, that's not dubious. Yes, it is.
Jared,
are you trying to get into the Playboy Mansion or stand outside? Which one are you doing?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being on the inside.
All right. Thank you.
I heard Chris Carter on First Things First today. I thought he put it perfectly. He said that, and this at first, maybe to some people, this will sound like too high praise for Eli. But when you really know, you know, what Joe Namath was like, you'll understand. He said he's the Joe Namath of this generation. And Joe Namath, he didn't have a tremendous career. He won the one big game.
Yeah, but
you're right.
But he changed the NFL forever. He legitimized AFL. Am I right, Jared?
But I think Eli is similar. He had a couple of big Super Bowl performances like Namath had the one.
Okay, let's just stop for a quick second. When he says Eli is similar to Namath, no,
really,
because a lot of times, and I'm talking about
Namath didn't have a tremendous career.
I'm talking about the persona of the person and the impact. And Rob, you mentioned it. You know, Joe Namath's big moment and what it meant for the history of the NFL and all of that. And I think, you know, that matters. You know, a lot of times, and I've had this conversation with Bill Belichick a couple times, when we've talked about, you know, what he thinks about candidates and all that kind of stuff. And he always says to me, well, what's the criteria? And it's like, well, Bill, there's really no criteria except for we're supposed to consider what happens between the lines, right? And so there's a lot of gray area. But I think it's always in the back of somebody's mind when they're making a decision if the person has had impact, you know, with persona. And I think that matters. Now, one of you guys mentioned earlier that the New York factor might really favor Eli. Well, I don't know about that per se, because, you know, there's only a couple New York writers there, okay? And so it is spread out, diversified around the country. I mean, maybe there's more than a couple, but the point being, I don't know if that gets you a whole lot of points when it comes to the Hall. But I know we're going to have a great discussion in, what, 5, 6, 7 years, or probably 5 or 6 years whenever he comes up.
And can we ask you about Colin Kaepernick and his agent calling a few teams around? What do you know about that?
Man, I don't know anything directly. I've seen the reports. It's a shame. It's something that we really shouldn't even be talking about, because he should have a job. And the NFL should be ashamed of itself. Jay-Z should be ashamed of himself for that press conference last month when he comes out and talking about it's not about getting Colin Kaepernick a job. And it's a travesty. This is one of the worst things that has, you know, will be on the NFL's record, if you will, for, you know, how it tries to be a meritocracy, as we always hear, because that is definitely not the case. I would hope that, you know, somebody at some point will, you know, bring this man in. And I think, you know, I really want to hear from Colin Kaepernick publicly, just if people have questions about what he thinks about any and everything that's been attached for his name, to his name. A lot of people have been talking for him. But I, on the other hand, I don't like it from the standpoint of, you know, does he have to get out and beg publicly for a job? So it's not like that's a, you know, end-all thing for me. I've got to hear from Kaepernick before I think he gets a job. No, I'm not saying that, but I would love to hear from him.
Right.
But, you know, beyond that, we just know how much crap it is, what's happened with this man. It sickens me. And we talked about it last year as quarterbacks got hurt, especially like a guy like Deshaun Watson or whatever. But this year, it's happening so early in the season, because I think it was 2 years ago we had a bunch of quarterback injuries. Didn't have as many last year, but this year it's ramped up so early in the season. I think, you know, sadly, it's good that he is still on the tip of so many people's tongue when it comes to, you know, what happened to him and what's going on in the NFL.
When you talk to executives, I mean, do they – I know you might not talk a lot to them about Kaepernick, but – okay, what is the thinking? I mean, is it – man, I'd love to have him, but, you know, our owner don't want him or – you know, because obviously you said everything. We agree with everything you said.
The most striking sentiment that I've heard from multiple people is that, well, we're invested in – so-and-so as a quarterback, and if we bring him in here, it will take away from where we're trying to go with, you know, quarterback A. Now, I think that can be valid in some cases, right? If you drafted a quarterback, you know, in the first round, you drafted Patrick Mahomes, okay, you know, so on and so forth, right? You're not going to try to bring in cap. So I can understand it to a degree. And Kansas City and Andrew Reid wasn't one that said that, but that's a good example. So, yeah, there are some cases where I think that's a valid argument, but in so many cases, it's not a valid argument, right? And
right.
So it's going to take somebody who has, you know, the obvious strength to be able to do it. And another, you know, one case that's interesting is Jacksonville, right? And they went out and got Nick Foles during the offseason, who got hurt, unfortunately for him. But, you know, way before that, you know, with Blake Bortles and going through everything. And I know I've talked to Shad Khan, the Jags owner, and the only, you know, minority person who is, you know, an owner of an NFL team. And, you know, he feels it. But then he tells me, well, you know, Tom Coughlin is the guy who, you know, I've put in this position to handle those decisions. So I think there might be some of that sentiment, some of that conflict, but it's weird because usually the owner gets what the owner wants.
Right.
Because even like the Jets now, you know, Chris Johnson, we know Woody Johnson would have wanted to have no part of Kaepernick, but Chris Johnson has been running the team while Woody is doing his, you know, Trump duty as the ambassador, right? And Chris Johnson was a guy who, you know, got a lot of praise from the left, if you will, for saying that he wasn't going to punish players for kneeling when the NFL was talking about, you know, instituting that particular policy, right? And so now, hey, Chris Johnson, you've got an issue right now.
All right, Jared, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. And look, we got a lot of we'll get you back on soon, man. Thanks for the knowledge.
All right, fellas, have a good one.
You know, always, yep.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, let's move away from the football for a moment, or at least pro football. This could affect college football players, but there's a senator in New York, Rob. His name is Kevin Parker.
I love this guy already, and not just because of his last name, Chris. Seriously.
Right. Any relation? No.
No.
But he has proposed a bill. He did it earlier this week. That would give college athletes the right to sell the rights to their own names, images, and likenesses. Now, we know that such a bill was just passed in California. The governor still has to kind of give it the final okay, but that looks like it's going to pass in California. He has proposed a similar bill in New York, but he also has added to it, he's adding an amendment to it, that would require college athletic departments to give a 15% share of their annual revenue to student athletes.
I love it, Chris. Finally, like that $6 billion that the colleges divvy up. Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Of your profits, right? As it says, of what does it say? Of your revenue or profits?
Of their revenue.
Yeah. They make
profits,
all that money. Profits.
I think it's tremendous. I think it's great. And look, you knew once that type of law passed in one state, they had to either stop California from doing it, and the NCAA is actually trying just that, or you had to let all the states do it. And I know this isn't all of them, but several others are considering a similar bill. And if it happens in New York and California, then I think most of the other states are just going to have to follow suit.
And you know what?
You can't have these schools competing against each other and some of these schools have an unfair advantage because they can pay their athletes, or at least their athletes have the opportunity to get money off their likenesses.
And you know what, Chris? With the smoking ban, and I could be wrong, I'm not going to say, but I believe California was first, right, with the smoking ban.
No, that was so long ago. I'm not sure.
I think it was. Hey, Lee, can you just look that up? The smoking ban, I think California passed the first law, and then New York, and it took the whole country, right? Swept through
right.
the whole country. And that's the
right.
point, is that I think California was, in this case, and New York's trying to take it even bigger, take the next step. Do you know what I mean? They're following
they sure
California,
are.
But they're taking the next step.
And my thing on that next step, where you're saying that athletic departments would give 15% of their annual revenue to student athletes. I think the way they should divvy that up, this is my opinion, and I've been outspoken. I've said, look, you don't have to pay all of the college athletes. You need to really pay the football and the basketball players, because those are the ones who are really, let's just keep it real.
They're revenue
those
producers.
Those are the ones playing professional basketball.
Right.
And football, right? It's really like a professional sport at that level.
It is. It's minor league, but they're getting paid.
Yep. No question about it.
But they aren't getting paid.
What I think they should do is whatever your sport generates, whatever amount of money your sport generates, and football generates the most, basketball generates, men's basketball the second most, and then from there, I mean, the other ones are way behind, but some of them do generate some money. Whatever your sport, so if the rowing team makes $500,000 one year, 15% of that, and I don't know how he came up with 15%, but for sake of argument, let's stick with that. 15% of that should go to the rowing team, the players.
Right.
But if the football team makes $1 million, 15% of it should go to the players. I mean, I think that's how they should do it. Don't try to make it equal where, you know, some guy on the wrestling team makes as much as Trevor Lawrence on the football team at Auburn. Because that's not fair. And that's not what this country is about in any other way. It's capitalism. And the more you generate, the more you make. And so the football players and the basketball, I personally don't want to hear about Title IX when it comes to this. Because if a women's sport is generating as much or more as a men's sport, then fine.
I hear what you're saying, but that ain't going to go. That ain't the way it's going to go. You already know that. I mean, you could say that.
They should pay a female softball player as much as a football player who's generating far more money.
That'll be the argument. And they'll say that they don't promote women's softball the way that they do football or college basketball, and they don't do the same thing.
That's not the reason it's not as popular.
I agree because we talk about it all the time.
I mean, why don't the WNBA doesn't make money? That's why the players don't make as much as the NBA players.
And
Let's just keep it real.
I've said it 1,000 times. Women won't go to WNBA games. There are more women than men. So if you want to have a league, if women went and sold out the building, Chris, guess what? The LA Times would have a beat writer. They would pay attention to it. It's all about that and what the consumers are the ones who dictate. So when 4,000 people show up in the stands, they're not going to send a reporter to cover the team. They're not going to travel with the team. They won't.
You're right. It's not going to be on primetime television.
It's not. Those are facts.
Yeah, and that, people just got to accept that. All right? I mean, you and I, we do the same amount of work as some other guys that do what we do, but they're on a higher level. And they make more money. And we get it. And if we get to that level, we'll get that money.
Absolutely.
It's just as simple as that. That's life in America, which is a capitalistic society. So it should be the case with these guys. But overall, I am happy that this does seem to be changing. And give credit to the legislators, because the NCAA would never do this.
They're never going to give in. They have ultimate power, Chris. They've had a stranglehold on players. They did stuff to scare the players. Like, even when a player declared for the draft, why in the world could they not come back to college if they didn't get drafted?
Right.
That was a scare tactic to make them not want to, you know, apply for it.
Yep.
Oh, if you go, you're ineligible. You're not. How are you ineligible when you haven't received a dime? I didn't get drafted. I'm not a pro. They wouldn't let those guys. Now, they've changed it recently. And now they let you come back in, Chris, but for years they punish kids for wanting to go to the draft. Why?
It's a joke. I mean, everything around the sport is professional. When you're talking about football and basketball, everything. And I'm sure you've had conversations with pro athletes too about this. I've had professional athletes, basketball players, tell me that if you want to make, like, you can't major in a challenging subject, like engineering or, you know, pre-med
or journalism,
pre-law or something like that. You can't do it play football or basketball and graduate in 4 years. It's impossible. And so they said they major in, and, you know, communications, which, you know, that's not a bad major, but it's not as taxing. Let's just keep it real. As some of these other sports. Robert Smith, who we had on, a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
Best light-skinned running back of all time.
Oh, look at you.
But no, he is, though, right? I mean, we settled on that, right? Unless you give us O.J. Simpson.
No, O.J.'s not light-skinned. Stop it.
Some people, it depends on your vantage point. But anyway, Robert Smith wanted to be a doctor. He was pre-med at Ohio State. I was in Ohio covering high school sports at that time. It was a big story because he's from Cleveland. And he wanted to be a doctor, be pre-med. And an assistant coach told him he was studying too much. So he quit the team. So he had a period at Ohio State where he had stopped playing. So, and that was how long ago? 20-some-odd years ago. So imagine how it is now. So it is, I've heard athletes have said, look, you don't get the time to really take advantage of the free education you're getting.
Unless you want a degree in basket weaving or something
How many guys major in liberal studies and, you know what I mean?
Which you can't get a job for anything. You don't come out of school with something that you could apply to anything, Chris. It's just a...
No doubt.
Just saying
no
you got doubt. A degree or you went for 4 years is what it says.
Yep. And so I hope these kids look, and I tell you what, we've always talked about, Rob, it's complicated, right? It's how do you do it? You know, that's what you hear. It, coaches who want to come off like they support it. Well, how do you do it? That's the thing.
Right.
It seems like the legislators are making it pretty simple.
And Chris, you can benefit from your likeness. It ain't the end.
Right. They're
trying to make it
15%.
Like, right. It's just like anything that evolved. People weren't paid or paid ridiculous wages, and then they got it the same way that they came up with the minimum wage. You figure out, you know what I mean, what people need to be able to go to work and figure it out, that what they would need to bring home, and it ain't that hard. People are making it like it's impossible to figure it out.
Well, and one thing is we brought it up earlier that could make it complicated is if you do insist on all of the athletes, male, female, you know, getting paid or making the same amount, which, again, I think is ridiculous. If you and I went to the same college and you were able to get a job at a radio station on air and you were making money, that doesn't mean I should make money. I don't have the job. You know what I mean? Or right. I got a different job. And, you know, so it just is what it is.
But you know the part you could do? You could do if your sport didn't make any money. There's just an across-the-board stipend to be an athlete at that college. Do you see what I'm saying? So that everybody gets the same.
That be the same? So are you saying like a lacrosse player
would
get the same amount as a football player?
No,
Alabama.
I'm saying if your school doesn't.
Oh.
In no sports, say the sports that
you
don't
make
money. You
could have a minimum. Yeah,
that's
like
what I mean.
Amount for, say it was, you know, $5,000 a year for every athlete.
You're on rowing or you're on something that doesn't, then you could do it that way is what I'm saying. Like, there's a minimum, and everybody gets that, and then people who are on revenue-producing sports, you get more.
Right. Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
It ain't that hard. We just figured it out in 3 minutes on the radio.
Yeah, it's so let's hope. I hope this thing goes through, but maybe some of you disagree. Maybe you don't. You know, we heard Tim Tebow come out and say he doesn't think the athlete, he was passionate about him. I think he was completely wrong.
He was just, about completely wrong, just ridiculously wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was very naive. You know what I mean? That's what it was. You know, and, love his passion and his innocence to some degree, but it just wasn't really. Things have changed.
Well, my only thing is,
it's as simple as that. And even when he played, he should have been getting paid.
But even in that, when he's talking about it, I mean, what does he think about the $6 billion TV deal to CBS? I just don't understand about it being amateur and all this. Dude, it's not amateur. You're kidding yourself.
No.
Coaches are making millions of dollars.
Right.
Millions.
And I don't know what his background. I know his family, his parents were missionaries. A lot of them don't make a lot of money. So I don't know if he comes from a lot of money or anything. But, you know, it's different. Some of these guys are just scraping by. And I get it that when you're a big-time Division I football or basketball player, you do get perks. We know that, Rob. I mean, they're feeding these guys and, you know, they're getting them in study hall and, you know, once you're in junior high in basketball and you start showing promise, you know, you're getting free sneakers and bags. And all. So I'm not trying to say that they're treated like, you know, scrubs. But still, a lot of them come from broken homes and they really could use the money and to help out their family. So I think it's a long time coming.